welcome the shittiest song of the week.
That sounds fucking terrible.
It's like retard music.
It's utter horseshit.
I was gonna say, it's bad.
This is dumb, retarded.
Because it's so bad.
It's obnoxious.
So very annoying.
Unlistenable.
That's bad. That's really bad.
That was so bad.
For the love of God, why the fuck are you listening to Shitty Song of the Week?
Hello, welcome to another episode of Shitty Song of the Week, the show where I'm your host, Brandon, and joining me, as always, back by popular demand, it's Red. How's it going, buddy?
What's going on, dude?
And we are also joined by Teresa. Teresa, welcome.
Hi, guys.
What up, T?
Now, people, you know the drill at this point. You check us out at shittysong.show, where you get links to the social media and our Patreon. And while you're... I keep wanting to do the fucking voicemail shit. We don't do that anymore. I'm an idiot. Anyway.
Old scripts, man. Old scripts.
I know.
Change the cue card, Teresa. Change the cue card. I've told you 500 times.
I'll do it next week.
Do your fucking job already. God damn. Anyway, joining us tonight, we have Mr. Magenta. Mr. Magenta, welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me back again. Getting close to the end. I'm glad I could squeeze in one more time.
Hell yeah.
What's up, buddy?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because this is actually the last entry for the Shitty Song of the Year this year.
Ooh.
Gasp.
Big shoes to fill then.
You got in right at time. Yeah, no kidding.
Last year the big song was Brian Wilson, so I hope I got something as amazing as that at least.
Well, it's funny because we started the year off going through some metal music. I remember bringing 10 Masked Men, and Red loved it. He was so thrilled that we went through the cover
off.
Song.
Fuck off.
And it's really fitting that we end the year this year with hair metal, of all things, going through some power ballads.
Yay.
Yeah, this was my idea. I am a huge hair metal fan, and there's a very good chance I'll be offended by what song he brought that you guys think is shitty.
I'm offended that we're even doing it to begin with. I hate hair metal.
Me too.
Magenta,
I hate it.
You know. Oh. I hate it with a passion.
My God. All right. Well, thanks for having me. Bye.
We win.
Yeah, you're now blackballed from Shitty Song of the Week, by the way.
You say that you're a fan of hair metal, and I can respect that. But what do you think about Christian hair metal?
Oh, God. Wait a minute. Is this Striper?
Yeah, you're goddamn right. We're going through some Striper tonight.
Okay. Yeah. They're weird because they went with the Christian route, and I guess it worked for them. They were somewhat successful, but if this is the power ballad I'm thinking of, it sucks ass.
Yeah, well, I believe the name of this one is Honestly.
Yep. Yeah, this thought song fucking sucks. I'm not offended you brought it.
I'm going to be straight up with you, Mr. Magenta. When Teresa told me that you wanted to do hair metal, I was upset.
He was.
I was like, fuck. I hate hair metal. Like, I couldn't say it enough, right?
I believe he said between your new metal bullshit and his hair metal bullshit, I don't know which one I hate worse.
Right, there you go.
Oh, I will take hair metal over new metal any day of the week. At least you got some awesome guitar work in there.
That's true.
I threw out some suggestions. Everybody threw out some. My suggestion didn't get picked. But whenever we decided on what we were going to bring, I told myself, I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to fucking listen to it.
Out of protest.
Because I hate it that bad. Out of protest, because I hate it that bad, right? I know who Striper is. I'm familiar with some of the more popular stuff, but I have no idea about this song. I've never heard it. I haven't listened to it since we've talked about it, and I have no idea what it's going to sound like. So
their non-power ballad stuff is actually pretty good, like if you're a fan of hair metal, but this power ballad is a fucking stinker. And I was all ready to be mad if you guys brought, like, When the Children Cry by White Lion or something like that.
Hey, you know what? What's funny, though, is that was one of my suggestions.
Oh, come on. The guitar work in that song is so good.
Yeah, but nobody needs to save the world from a hair metal band.
Well, that's true.
A cry for world peace should not come from glam metal. It just should not do it at all. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about White Lion, guys.
No, I know. I was just saying.
So, you know how this song goes, Mr. Magenta. I don't need to explain it to you, but this is like the sappiest of sappy love songs that I could possibly imagine. And it starts out with like one of the worst keyboard intros This dude's vocals have a bizarre range to them. I'm not a fan of the sound of his voice at all. This is nails on the chalkboard of my mind listening to.
I love it when you say that, Brandon.
It's true, though.
It makes me smile.
It's so infuriating from the very first note that plays to the first time this asshole opens his mouth and starts spewing words out at you. It's obnoxious.
And the best part is, since they're a Christian hair metal band, it's not really a love song, but it's about their love for Jesus instead of a girl.
Yeah.
So it's even more pretentious.
That's a weird relationship to have, though.
If you didn't know that Striper was a Christian metal band, though, it doesn't read that way. Like, it only because you know who they are, like, all of a sudden it throws Christian overtones onto it.
And that's what's creepy about it. Talking about your God like you would your lover. That's weird.
Yeah, if you just heard this song without knowing that, you'd think it's a normal power ballad about a chick or whatever. But their other big hit was To Hell with the Devil, so I think that was kind of a giveaway. They were Christian.
Well, I mean, what's that South Park joke? Like, you just, for pop songs, you just change it from Jesus to Baby or something like that? It's yep. The same song?
Yep. I love you, Jesus.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you love Jesus or are you in love with Jesus?
Well, what's the difference? I think that's what Carmen says.
All right. Why don't we get into it, shall we?
All right.
I guess.
Let's do it.
This is like a 4.5-minute song. Let's get it over with.
Ew.
I just want to point out, like, I'm so glad that certain tones have died away with time. It's nice to know that you don't hear piano played like this. It doesn't sound like this anymore.
It sounds like a, what's the thing that Beethoven used to play? A harpsichord?
Harpsichord, or yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I generally like 80s synth sounds, like for keyboards and stuff, but it doesn't work with this song. And especially if you're trying to be emotional and sing your heart out for your lover or Jesus, it just makes it sound really cheesy and dated.
Well, especially when the chorus comes in for this. Like, all of a sudden, it seems like this intro was a separate song that just got thrown into this. If you want to go back on it so we can hear this guy start things off, that'd be great.
That sounded like the intro music when you're coming into church on Sunday. That's what that sounded like. Well, another weird thing about this being a Christian band, and I don't mean to cut in or whatever, but Christian religion, they frown upon, like, guys dressing up like women and women dressing up like guys and the whole shit, right?
But it's hair metal, though, dude.
But I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about that. If that's the case, then why do every one of these motherfuckers look like women? Every one of them.
It was the times.
That was how you got noticed back in the day, for some reason.
How big your hair was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's hair metal. What do you want? You can't defend the fashion. That's not what I like about it.
I'm not defending it. I'm trying to figure it out.
The bigger the hair, the closer to God.
Oh, there you go.
That's what it is. Okay.
By the way, this was their biggest hit.
Was it what? Really?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe Teresa can fact check me. It was either this or To Hell with the Devil.
Yeah, it's their best known song, and it peaked at number 23 on Billboard's Hot 100.
And that was the biggest?
That was their biggest
song. At 23?
Song. Yeah.
He turned honestly into a 15-syllable word.
Like, I know, there's barely any lyrics to this song.
Yeah, it's so droning. Like, we're a minute 10 into this, and it feels like we've been listening to it for 30 minutes now.
If I was God and I heard this, I'd be mad.
Straight to hell with you, bitch.
When I first listened to this song, like, this intro, it's, I said it exactly in the chat, that it's like, why does he sound like a timid girl singing in front of a church choir?
Because that's what's going on.
Exactly.
Here. Yep.
He's humbled in the sight of God, Teresa. Okay? He's humbled in the sight of God.
Like, so you hear other power ballads, like Skid Row, I Remember You, and you hear Sebastian Bach sing, and you hear him, and you're like, that guy can sing metal even though he's singing a ballad. You hear this, and you're like, this motherfucker can't sing metal. He sounds so bad and wimpy, like you said, a timid girl.
It's hard to imagine him, like, trying to have any power in his voice at all. And he goes for it in this song. He does, unfortunately.
I'm ready to hear it because this is boring as fuck.
Yeah, strap in.
Yeah, chorus isn't that far from here, so.
I wanted to start singing along.
We have just officially heard the wimpiest lyric in shitty song of the week history.
I forgot how friend-zone-y these lyrics are.
I didn't catch it.
I will always be true as a friend. I will always be true. It's so fucking stupid, dude.
It's call on me and I'll be there for you. I'm a friend who always will be true. And I love you.
Thank
Can't you see that I can say I love you?
Honestly,
I got lost in that cheap ass lazy fucking drum fill. That's what I got lost. Wow.
Aren't you glad you didn't listen to this ahead of time, Red?
So glad. I'm ready for it to be over with because I've only had to hear it once. I'm ready for it to be over with.
I was so prepared to defend like other power ballads I thought you were going to bring to the show, but this one is not one of them.
Yeah, but Mr. Magenta, you got to think about something. Were you really expecting Brandon to bring like Unskinny Bop or something? I mean, what were you expecting?
No, I was expecting maybe like a band that's kind of like this, like somewhat obscure. But I mean, there's other ballads.
Whitesnake or Dokken or somebody? Like,
yeah.
Brandon's going to go for the jugular either way.
I got a title to uphold here. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, that's what I mean.
He's not known as Brandon Pocket Sand Fisher for no reason.
I'm proud he didn't pick, like, Headed for a Heartbreak by Winger or Every Rose Has a Thorn. He did a good one.
That's shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh, the low-hanging fruit right there.
That's kind of the point I was trying to make.
Well, why not poke fun at hair metal and Jesus at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
Two birds, guys.
Yeah, it is kind of the Christmas season.
I actually almost brought this song, by the way. This was like my second or third choice.
Really? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Glad to know I did good here.
This was my second choice. You're in for it.
Let's continue on with this then, because we're about halfway through it.
Sing it, Mr. Magenta. Sing your little hair metal heart out, buddy. I honestly feel like I just left church.
We're just going to gloss over that fucking shitty organ solo.
It feels like we're in church.
That's what I'm saying.
I kind of like the synth solo, but you picked a song with no guitar solo, which sucks for me because that's the one redeeming thing about the power ballad is the six solo.
Yeah, there's supposed to be one here. I'm expecting it. Like, give me something to pick me up. I've been falling asleep listening to this for 2 minutes and 40 seconds now.
Did you see the part in the music video where they're all holding hands and bowing their head in prayer to this piece of shit song?
Oh, you caught that, did you?
I was expecting a communion plate to be passed around.
Yeah, I'm expecting one to come out of like the side shot over here in my camera for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. Where's that coming from? I'm taken aback, overwhelmed. Like, it's like in your face about how churchy this is. This isn't a hair metal power ballad. This is a praise and worship song for church.
Well, yeah.
Under the guise of a power ballad.
Like, instead of having your lighter in the air, it should just be healing hands, you know? I totally see it.
Do you think any churches played this back in the 80s for their Sunday worship?
Probably.
Oh, I'm sure there were a couple of Striper cover worship bands out there that would play on their churches on Sunday.
Oh,
try to sneak a song or two in.
There would be a cover band that would take out the electric guitar, so it would be even like shittier and wimpier to play it in church. Oh, God. That's what I'm picturing in my head right now.
This guy's vocals, like, if you listen to it, when the chorus comes in, he's really trying to, like, hit a high note or, like, push his voice. He's trying to elevate himself, but he can't do it. Because it all sounds the same. Like, he's hit his peak in the beginning of the song, and he's tried to top it ever since then, and he just can't get it.
He sounds like a low-rent Geddy Lee.
Yes, oh my God, yes!
Now I kind of want to hear Geddy Lee do this.
God. Better or worse? Slightly better, right?
Better, yeah.
I mean, more bass. I'd appreciate that. But let's continue with this.
Sing it again.
Oh my God. You're killing me, Teresa. Holy shit.
Red needs a break.
Yep.
I think I figured it out, though. Because we haven't talked about the music in this thing at all. It's the simplest of rhythms. It's the simplest of guitar parts. It's the simplest of drums and all that shit. They make it that simple so these shitty church bands can follow along and play it, and it's only like 3 or 4 chords that they know how to play.
That sounds about right.
It's simple shit, dude. This is a garage band. The backing track is garage band music.
Yeah, that's a
like,
good
it's
point.
It's simple.
There's nothing simple. Memorable musically, except for the shitty synth solo, but I already forgot it.
It's the same beat over and over. There's no drum fill to mention at all for anything. And when it comes back around, it's the same fucking humdrum beat and guitar parts and shit.
Yeah, and the whole song, it's one verse and then the chorus twice with the shitty synth solo in between that I love because I love shitty synth solos.
And an intro that had no place being there. Like, even that synth tone doesn't come back. It's a different tone in the solo.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, even when I was going through my hair metal phase, I thought this song was trash.
So, Mr. Magenta, if this was your number two, your number one better fucking suck.
Oh, I think it will. In the polls, though, I could see it being like 50-50 or going either way.
Don't you speak that shit into existence, damn it.
Yeah, we got too many fucking ties this year.
Yeah, there are too many ties. But, well, when we get to my song, I'll make my case for why I picked it over this song.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're almost done with this.
Well, since now we're doing the visual aspect of this again, I got to make a note that this video is the most boring fucking video on the face of the planet. Like, they're showing concert
footage. It's the most boring song.
Well, yeah, but right. It's like everyone's just sitting there so politely. Like, I don't think ever anybody has flashed titties at a Stryper concert. And if they have, I'm sure they were swiftly escorted out of the building. And probably
they throw up crosses and Bibles instead.
Security comes up to him, is like, ma'am, Jesus wouldn't appreciate that.
But it's so boring.
What would Jesus do, ma'am? What would Jesus do?
Well, imagine you're the video editor. How would you make this exciting? What footage would you use? There's nothing you could do.
Them walking by a lake, apparently.
Holding hands.
Praying to your own music. That's weird.
It's a little self-indulgent.
There's lots of friendship and intimacy.
It's a weird relationship with a god, is all I'm saying, guys. It's weird.
Well, let's finish it.
Yeah, we're almost done.
I think that's only like the second or third time I heard him say the word in the whole song. Right?
Well, that may be right, but he spends the most time saying honestly. Like, when he says honestly, he fucking says it.
So the song is 4 minutes, almost 30, and the two times he says honestly is like 2 minutes of the song?
Pretty much.
Sounds about
anyway,
right.
Anyway, that was boring as shit, Brandon, and I hate that you brought that. Unless Mr. Magenta's got a fucking, what do you call it, a stinker? Yeah, his shit better really suck to beat that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Teresa knows the band I brought, and she was not happy with that.
I was not.
Wait a minute. We're not going to skirt past that. Why were you mad about it? Did you like the band, Teresa?
No, I hate the band. This is one of my husband's guilty pleasure bands, and he plays it on purpose because he knows it pisses me off.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm so sorry. All right. So, yeah, it was my idea to do a hair metal episode, and it's kind of funny. I just thought I'd talk about how I got into it. It's stupid when I think about it now, but when I was in middle school, nu metal was the popular rock genre. I'm sure Teresa was banging her head to that.
Oh, I was.
And I just didn't get it. Like, I heard Limp Bizkit, and I was like, this fucking sucks. So I'm going to rebel against the popular metal music. I'm going to get into the popular metal music from 20 years ago, like a real rebel. Gave him all my fucking money.
There you go.
But in my defense, dude, that era had amazing guitar players. The musicianship was off the hook. I probably wouldn't have learned to play guitar if I didn't hear the guy from Winger shredding balls on the song 17 so hard it made me forget that it's basically a pedophile anthem. And that means I probably wouldn't be on the show today. So if you hate me and don't want me on, go burn down another Great White concert or something. I don't know. But I get why people hate it. Hair metal's cheesy, stupid, dated. But here's the thing that people don't know about it, don't understand about the genre. Bands that people like Teresa and Red hate that come up all the time, like Rat, Cinderella, Poison, Doc, and Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Warrant, Winger, White Snake, White Lion, Regular Lion, Quiet Riot, LA Guns, Night Ranger, Skid Row, and of course Europe. But those were the good ones with popular songs. There were so many fucking worse, obscure, terrible hair metal bands that even the 80s wish they could forget about. Enter the band I brought today. So Teresa knows about this band, but Brandon Red, have you heard of Pretty Boy Floyd before?
No.
I can't say I have.
So they were a band, they came out pretty late into the game. They had some mild success with the first album they made, put out in 1989, kind of when the genre was on the decline. And get this, it's called Dangerous Boys with Electric Toys, and both boys and toys end with Z.
Oh, nice. Great.
I'd say their biggest claim to fame is Broken Side probably ripped them off. Pretty Boy Floyd is such a shitty and generic hair metal band that when VH1 did a video countdown called Top 40 Hair Bands of All Time, they couldn't even crack number 40. And if you're a hair metal band and you can't get into a top 40 list, just jump off a fucking bridge. You're done. And by the way, Stryper was on that list at like number 25 or something.
Okay.
It was in the 20s. I don't remember exactly where it is. So I should win just based on that.
Yeah, based on actual charts. Yeah, based on that.
So they put out this super generic album in 1989, which, by the way, was their only full-length album until 2004, because they broke up a couple years later.
Of course.
They had two singles from it that are the two worst songs on the album. And the power ballad they wrote, I Want to Be With You, is the one I brought today.
So wait a minute. They put an album out in 1989.
Yep.
And then they broke up after that.
Yeah.
And they didn't make another album until 2004?
Yeah, they broke up a couple years later. They got back together in the late 90s and put out a four-song EP, and then didn't put out another full album until 2004.
Okay. Yeah, but they put out music between that time, though.
Yeah, a couple songs.
Yeah.
But no one was clamoring for a Pretty Boy Floyd reunion, except for maybe Teresa's husband.
That's still a long span to put out music, though.
Yeah, yeah.
In their defense, though, in that period of time, hair metal band, that genre was flooded with shit.
Yeah.
Come in late, you're only going to get the shit into the stick. You're not going to make it, you know, unless you're Warrant or Poison or somebody like that. You know, I mean, more commercial than Pretty Boy Floyd.
Well, that's the thing, is there were some good bands that came in toward the end, like Warrant, Steelheart, Mr. Big had their biggest hit in like 91. Motley Crue put out Dr. Feelgood in 89. So there were still some big successes happening then, but it was just too late in the game if you already sucked ass like these guys did.
Right.
Speaking of Mr. Big, the song I brought is I Want to Be With You. It's not to be confused with their song, To Be With You, which I believe has already been on the show before.
Yes, it has.
I know you guys weren't big fans of that, but trust me, this song is a masterpiece compared to this pile of shit.
So already, Brandon, it's a generic hair metal band with a generic song title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's checking the boxes.
Well, I'm just saying, as far as like the stinker aspect that I was talking about earlier, he's already got two pluses in his favor.
The big thing about this song is the lyrics are so pathetic. They sound like they were written by a middle school student who was too embarrassed to show this to anybody and threw them in the trash. But these assholes are like, no, these are amazing. A lot of times on the show, it comes down to music versus lyrics, and I'm picking lyrics this time. If you're ready, Teresa, we can get into it.
All right.
All right.
I brought up 17 by Winger earlier. Already we got guys in their 20s singing about wanting to meet a girl after school. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But I don't know if you caught the amazing lyrics, but it went, one day after school, I saw you after class. Maybe we can talk after school. Something like that. I mean, this is just... Teresa, you can read the first verse.
Yeah, it's, as I was walking out of class the other day at school, I saw you. Don't think I've ever seen you round here before. You must be new. What's your name? Where are you from? Our conversation's just begun. Maybe we can talk more after school. I know that we just met, but maybe you'd like me to go out with you.
You don't need to mention that you're at school after mentioning that you're in class. Like, where else are you having class at?
He's trying to make you believe that he met her in class, or at school, rather.
Yeah, these lyrics are so shitty and middle school-y that I don't think he's talking about college, and I got more proof of that coming up.
It's a musical version of Do You Like Me? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a country song, too.
It's already way more, like, I'm able to pay attention to this way more than fucking Striper, though. Like, I was put to sleep.
Musically, it's more upbeat. No doubt.
Yeah. Mm. No, I'm not saying that it's a good thing. It's just allowing me to pay attention to the song. I was being put to sleep with my own submission earlier.
Just because you can pay attention to it doesn't mean it's good. I mean, now you've got to be bombarded with these awful lyrics. Striper basically had one verse and one chorus. So this has more, but it's just so fucking bad. I know power ballads aren't like renowned for their amazing lyrics. Every rose has its thorn. At least it has some poetic flair. There's a metaphor in the title. That song's about how Bret Michaels dated a stripper who cheated on him and how he was heartbroken. If these assholes wrote it, the song would go, "Last night I heard my stripper girlfriend fuck another guy and now I'm sad."
That's beautiful. I kind of want to hear that, though.
Oh, we should make that a game, Brandon. We should come up with stupid names for already songs and see if we could figure it out. That's a great idea, Mr. Magenta.
What it's actually about versus what's hidden in stupid metaphorical lyrics. Well, you couldn't do that with this song. Gee, I wonder what he's fucking singing about. And musically, this song still fucking sucks. Like, it's just a generic guitar part. It's an acoustic guitar, but it's buried in reverb and bad effects that even as a person who enjoys 80s music, I don't like it. So the whole mix just sounds wishy-washy and not metal at all.
Well, see, and that's what I question, because it's like when I think of power ballads, I think of like slow, droning, like really, really sappy. And this is very upbeat.
No, I wouldn't say very upbeat.
Well, it's more upbeat than Every Rose Has Its Thorn or...
Yeah, you know. But not every ballad's going to keep the same tempo, Teresa.
Well, I don't like hair metal. So.
I would rather listen to a power ballad that has like a cool acoustic guitar, like Extreme More Than Words.
Yeah, like a good solid power ballad would be like the Whitesnake tune or, you know what I mean, something more, not necessarily commercial, but more rock guitar and more depth to the lyrics, I guess. This is another sad attempt. Now, we're only 44 seconds into this thing. It's still to be determined whether it's going to be worse than Striper or not, but it does have upbeat qualities to it, like Brandon said, to make you listen to it a little bit better, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad or that it's better, because now you just got to tune the other song out.
This is the musical equivalent of Bless Your Heart. Like, I'm listening to it, and it's just like, oh, listen to this guy. He's trying. Isn't that something?
Just want to tussle his hair.
I mean, I'm just saying, these lyrics sound like something I would have written in high school, and even as a retarded high school kid would have been like, eh, this is too shitty. No one's going to like this. And they're like, no, bro, this is our fucking biggest hit, and I'm pretty sure it was. Also, like Striper, their worst song, biggest hit.
Yeah, I never heard of these guys.
They were not good and pretty obscure. And like I said, they couldn't even crack a top 40 hair metal list. That's sad.
Well, should we continue on?
Yes, let's continue. We'll get to the chorus and just see how good the lyrics continue.
Why is there a payphone on the side stage?
I don't know. I'm not going to defend the music video. Or this song. Fuck this song. It's so fucking terrible. I hate it.
Anyway, continue. I just thought that was weird. He was on the payphone on the side stage. That was kind of weird. Anyway, continue. Oh my God.
That amazing chorus was, I want to be with you 6 times and then, and only you. Just the lyrical mastery on display is astounding.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not sure what's going on here. Like, we brought a potentially retarded child to the show last week, and these lyrics are fucking worse than those.
Yes, and I mean, I know I'm sure Drake hired songwriters for that kid, but still, this is so much worse. I wish these guys had 10 songwriters like Taylor Swift did. You get something better than this.
I'm just not sure how much more I can say about it.
If you want to break things up, I actually brought a little game, because I was thinking to myself, these lyrics are so literal, childish, and generic. It sounds like something that ChatGPT wrote, and then I thought, what if I told ChatGPT to write me an 80s metal ballad written by a middle school student? Could it be better than Pretty Boy Floyd? So I have a couple sets of lyrics here, and I thought I would read them, and then you guys would guess, is it Pretty Boy Floyd
or ChatGPT writing like a middle school student.
Wow.
Okay,
look
great.
Look at this shit. A game right in the middle of the episode.
Teresa, I know you read the first verse. Did you skip ahead?
Nope. I just read the first verse.
Okay, so you can pick two, because I didn't pick anything from the verse that we already heard. Okay. Lyric set number one. In the hallway, under neon lights, she walks by, my heart takes flight. She's the girl from my dreams, so divine. With every step, she's stealing my mind. Is that Pretty Boy Floyd or ChatGPT?
That's ChatGPT.
That's ChatGPT. It's too specific.
Yeah.
That is correct. My bit's off to a great fucking start. All right, number two. I got your number from a friend, so I called to talk to you. I don't live too far. We could walk down to the park if you got nothing else to do. Is that Pretty Boy Floyd or ChatGPT?
That's Pretty Boy Floyd.
Pretty Boy Floyd has to be.
I'll say it's ChatGPT. I'll be the contrarian on this one.
All right, that's Pretty Boy Floyd. So Teresa and Red have 2 points.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, number three. Because you really mean a lot to me, and you don't have to look no more, because I found the girl I'm looking for. Is that ChatGPT or Pretty Boy Floyd?
Okay, it's getting a little harder now. Yeah, it's getting a little harder now, Teresa.
I think it's Pretty Boy Floyd.
Give it to me.
Yeah, read it again.
Because you really mean a lot to me, and you don't have to look no more, because I found the girl I'm looking for.
That's ChatGPT.
I'm going to say Pretty Boy Floyd.
Now, what'd you say, Brandon?
Yeah, Pretty Boy Floyd.
That one's Pretty Boy Floyd. Teresa's got 3 for 3. Brandon and Red have 2. Number 4. She walks by, a vision so bright. In her smile, I find my light. I write her name in the sand at the shore. I can't keep this secret anymore.
That's ChatGPT.
Pretty Boy Floyd.
ChatGPT.
Wow. Brandon and Red are right. You're all tied with 3 points.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Shit just got interesting.
All right, I got 2 more. 5th one.
Okay.
If I could have any girl in school, I wouldn't take but one. If I could do anything I wanted to, it wouldn't be too hard to choose.
That's Pretty Boy Floyd.
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Yeah.
That is correct.
This game's going to end in a tie.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate a tiebreaker. All right, we got the last one, and this one's really hard. This is the hardest one, so you got to put your thinking cap on. Underneath the high school moon so bright, I'll ask you out, I'll hold you tight. In this 80s ballad, my love takes flight. You're the girl I want, my guiding light.
In this 80s ballad.
This is a stumper.
If this song legitimately had the words "in this 80s ballad" in it, it'd be the greatest song. Some self-aware shit.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to say ChatGPT.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's correct. I had to include it because it was so literal. It made me laugh.
That's pretty good.
All right, well, that game ended in a tie, and I don't know if that proved anything, except, well, I think the ChatGPT lyrics are definitely better. There's more poetic flow to them than this real band that wrote this middle school bullshit.
This 80s ballad. That's great. That was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. We heard the amazing chorus that said the same thing 6 times. Now we can move on to verse 2. Just more of the same shit. More terrible lyrics. Okay, so I want to go through some of these lyrics. I got your number from a friend, so I called to talk to you. Little stalkerish, wouldn't you say?
A little bit.
Like, he doesn't know this girl, and he just calls her up because his friend gave her a number. I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, she's hanging up and calling the police. Unless I'm wrong, Teresa, you're a girl.
Well, see, like, I don't see anything wrong with that because, like, I don't know if maybe that's just like a Midwestern thing, but we did that. Like, you would get somebody's number from somebody else and you'd call them up and be like, hi, I like you, T.
If they've never met you before?
Well, I mean.
For the sake of my argument, I'm going to say this guy did it as a 22-year-old man and called up a high school student.
That's a valid point.
Yeah, okay. In that situation, yes. I was still thinking of middle school, so okay. Yeah, then in that situation, that's creepy as fuck.
And then the next lyrics, he says, being that you're new in town, you probably want to look around, but I could tell you before you do. What am I supposed to get out of that?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
What's the end game here, though? What are they going to do? Share, like, hair and makeup secrets together? I mean, I don't understand what the fuck he's going to do when he gets her.
It's so childish in middle school. It sounds like he's just trying his hardest so they can hold hands and watch shitty TV shows together and nothing else.
They're going to hug.
You say gets her like abducts her.
Well, I'm just, when he gets the girl, you know what I mean. Well, we are talking about, like, creepy stalker lyrics. I mean, he could. I'm just saying.
Is he saying that he could tell her about the town before she could find out on her own? Or is he saying he could tell that she wanted to learn more about the town before she even thought it? Like, he's got a fucking psychic connection.
Maybe it's just his way of saying there's nothing to talk about with this town. Like, yeah. You live in a shitburg.
Or she was doing a school project about the town she lives in, and he was going to take her around.
Maybe he works for the visitor center.
Oh, there you go. This is a tourist love ballad.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us debating these lyrics. Clearly, I was wrong. Music scholars are going to be debating these deep lyrics for years to come.
I love you. Also, come visit this town.
That sucks. We can continue.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is the one thing the song does have on the Striper song is there is a guitar solo. Thank fucking God.
But is it good?
Right.
It's the only part of the song that comes close to being decent. No, not really. It kind of sucks. It's not bad, but it's forgettable. And there were so many amazing guitar players in that era that it doesn't stand out at all. Compared to the rest of the song, at least it's something. Striper literally didn't have a solo. So this one gets a point for that. Unfortunately for me.
Guitar solos are works of the devil, Mr. Magenta.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You never watch Crossroads? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's true. The Striper guy couldn't duel against Steve Vai, that's for sure. Or okay. Ralph Macchio.
It's crazy how many retarded pedophilic lyrics are put into this song.
It was the 80s, man. It was a different time.
Yeah, but usually when that comes up, it's like peppered into the song. Like, you know, she's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they say. And that's the only time it ever comes up in the song. This is literally like every other line is like, oh, yeah, you were in school.
Oh, I forgot to say in the second verse, he says, I want to take you down to the park or something. And the first time I heard it, I thought he said bar instead of park. And I was like, oh, thank God they're at least of age. But no, it was Park, so that went out the fucking window.
Yeah, much more innocent.
So he can push you on the swings.
Now that sounds like something that would have been on the Striper video. The bandmates doing it to each other. Alright, so we can continue and listen to the mediocre solo.
I I didn't mind the harmonics in the last part of that, though. It wasn't terrible.
It was like the classic 80s harmonizing, where like both the guitars were playing one part at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an amazing solo, like I said. It's okay.
No.
Their other big hit, actually, it's funny, was the rock song, because of course, your first hit is the rock song, the second's the power ballad. That one didn't have a fucking guitar solo in it either. And that was the rock one. At least Striper, it's like, okay, it's a ballad, so maybe 1 out of 100 doesn't need a solo. But that has nothing to do with this, and it's not helping my case, but I just thought I'd bring it up. Anyway, so we got the bridge.
Moot.
So we got the bridge, and just in case you didn't pick up on the extremely obvious lyrics and message of the song, he hits you over the head with some more of his middle school bullshit. So it's more of the same. We can continue.
Do you think he just stole these lyrics from a middle schooler?
Honestly, yes.
I picture a scenario where he's at a bus stop and there's a little kid there, and they somehow they both drop their notebooks and his his lyrics get swapped and whatnot, and all of a sudden he's reading through these and he doesn't notice it because he's a fucking retard, and this is what we get.
It's either that or he wrote it in middle school and thought it was good enough. Speaking of them,
that's true.
The Mr. Big song, To Be With You, the singer actually did write that in high school, and that's why those lyrics are pretty bad and kind of simple. But I'll give that a pass, because at least that's got a cool acoustic toe-tapping thing going on. Lyrics in that song are better than this bullshit.
That I will give you.
I'm just imagining the lead singer, like, with the whole drop notebook thing, that he gets to his studio, and he's like, hey, wait, I know how to do arithmetic. And then he's flipping through and he sees this little half-ass written love poem. And he's like, oh, like
light bulb goes off over his head.
Yeah, this is brilliant.
Well, maybe, guys, maybe the kid that he swapped in a weird alternate universe, the kid that he swapped notebooks was the guy from Striper. And they got the notebooks.
Dun, dun, dun.
The hair metal multiverse.
I love that we're going with this scenario.
Would the Striper song be better with these lyrics or worse? Lyrically, this song is so much worse. The Striper song is bad, but not compared to this, and it's not pedophilic, at least.
I'm going to give you that. These lyrics are hard to listen to.
Yeah, lyric for lyric, the lyrics in your song are way worse than the Striper.
Yeah, so I think this is going to come down to music versus lyrics, because I don't think the music for this song is good. It's very generic bad power ballad, but I do think it's better than the Striper music.
Yeah,
like you said, it's a little less sappy at least.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so we got the bridge with more terrible lyrics. It's more of the same shit, so we can continue, and then we get to the last chorus. By the way, imagine for 1 second you're a shitty rock band with one final chorus to end on. What's the most generic cliche way you could end the song?
Beatle-y-dees.
The key change?
Brandon wins. Ding, 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 ding. Do the same shit, but slightly higher.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, God. Well, God damn it.
Let's finish this bullshit off.
I hate being right.
You know, I can never understand the concept of a woman wanting to be with a man who has better hair than her.
It's got to be a big point of contention in the relationship.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Their Aquanet budget is through the roof.
At the end there was a little acoustic solo, which wasn't that bad.
No,
but they started fading it out as soon as he played it. What, it was more important for him to say, I want to be with you 12 more times? Go fuck yourself. Worst power ballad ever. That's my song. Fuck Pretty Boy Floyd.
I agree.
It's crazy how simple and retarded those lyrics were. I brought children to this show, and I've said it before, they've written better lyrics than these fully grown adults writing a fucking retarded love song.
This makes JoJo Siwa sound like Robert Frost.
For real!
Stryfer wins this week, guys.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Honestly, I could see it going either way. Like, when I brought Tommy Lee to the show, I thought this song is significantly worse. That they both have bad things about them. The Pretty Boy Floyd song definitely has worse, more pathetic lyrics, but the Stryfer song is boring as fuck, and the music is worse. You pick your poison. They're both shit.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty close one.
Teresa, what about you? What would you pick?
Honestly,
it doesn't matter what she thinks, guys. It doesn't fucking matter. At this point, you know what to do. You head over to Shitty Song Not Show, where you get to decide which one of these songs deserves to move on. If you were able to stay awake for Stryfer and you think that that's the worst song this week, then you vote for Stryfer. Otherwise, the most simplistic, retarded lyrics of all time are going to move on for Shitty Song of the Year. I'm sorry, Teresa. Did you have something? You have something you want to say?
No.
That was nicely done, Brandon. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, Red gets to say Stryfer wins, but you cut off Teresa when she was about to say Pretty Boy Floyd. Fuck you, Brandon.
Yeah, you know the bit. Every week.
Every week, yep.
Oh, goddamn. Well, Mr. Magenta, I want to thank you so much for coming on and helping us wrap up the year before Shitty Song of the Year with, I mean, goddamn, what a way to fucking end it, dude.
No shit.
Put everybody to sleep before the biggest event of the year, I guess.
Yep. Oh, we'll wake them up, don't you worry.
Yeah, sappy, drony-ass episode right before the playoffs. Way to go, guys. Way to go.
Builds up momentum.
Does it,
though? That's right.
Hey, if we ever do another hair metal episode, I promise I won't bring a power ballad.
No more hair metal, Mr. Magenta. No more hair metal. We're going to make you bring a country song next time.
Oh, God. Actually, wait, I'd have one for that. I can make that work.
Oh, perfect.
I'd rather do hair metal again, but that's okay.
Is there anything you want to promote while you're here, bud?
Yeah, I like to promote all the 80s hair metal bands that aren't Pretty Boy Floyd and Stryfer. They're really good. You should give them another chance. And also soundcloud.com/Mr. Magenta for my parody songs. And support Shitty Song of the Week on Patreon.
Excellent. Well, now, damn, he already did your plug, Teresa.
I
was going to ask you.
Should I do it?
Do it twice.
Snub left and right here.
You can cut that out.
Should you do it?
Yeah, cut it out in the final episode. Make me look like an asshole.
Head over to patreon.com/SSOTW, and there you can sign up for the $5 shitbox tier, and you can check out all the Corey Feldman Experience episodes. We have recorded episodes that come out on Sundays, and then Monday you can listen to the audio version. So head over there today and sign up.
That's video episodes, Teresa. Video episodes. And
and take three.
The
No, poll, I'm leaving it in this time.
Yeah, the poll comes out early on Sundays and all that good shit. So, yeah.
It's new. I have to get it in my brain.
You'll get it. Don't worry.
I will. Brandon's still giving out the phone number, so give me a break.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, god damn it. I don't know what happened tonight, guys.
Hair metal happened.
All right. Well, a little programming note. Like I said, this is the last main episode, I guess, before the Shitty Song of the Year and the qualifiers and all that. So next week, we're going to be putting out the loser qualifier rounds. And then we'll go through the qualifiers. And then we have the big show. So we're so fucking close.
Really big show.
I'm so fucking pumped for it. I don't think there's a clear front runner this year. Like, I have no idea who's going to take it this year. And that makes it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had any predictions.
It could be Bruce Springsteen. Again,
not
it could be.
It could be. Two, I think I would pick Mother by Meghan Trainor and that stupid ass Falling in Reverse song about video games. Those are like the two shittiest I can think of off the top of my head. Mm. I fucking hate both of them.
Oh, both mine. Great.
Damn it.
You got to remember some losers are coming back too.
Yeah. Okay. Anything could happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal could come back.
That's true.
I think that would be hilarious.
We could end up with Bruce Springsteen again. Look, I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
Didn't you have like veto power in last year? You should save that in case Bruce Springsteen ends up at the end again.
I'm considering it.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a turn of events at the very fucking end? Bruce Springsteen's getting ready to win and Brandon says, nope.
Moot.
It's Steven Seagal, guys. I hate to tell you, but it's Steven Seagal.
That would be the first guest who's won Shitty Song of the Week and Shitty Song of the Year. So, could happen.
Mm, breaking records over here.
That could.
Tommy Lee could do it, and then it'd be me.
Oh, Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee didn't have anything to do with that.
You remember how shitty that music was. And now let's rehash it like That's we did true. For another 50
You can't
minutes.
Say Tommy Lee did it. You can't say Tommy Lee did it. I'll fight you to the fucking end for that.
Whatever. Brandon can give a third of a golden shitty to all the people on that track.
Yeah.
That's true.
What was it? Bouncy House and what was
Moon
it?
Moon Bounce and Brooke Candy.
Okay. Yes. They're the demon bitches. Yeah. Come on. You guys don't want Brandon to win again. Vote for Tommy Lee in Shitty Song of the Year. Even though there's no
voting.
We're voting
for Tommy Lee.
Oh, yeah. Red, vote for Teresa. Vote for Tommy Lee.
Oh, God damn it. Well, I think that's as good a place as any to wrap this up, guys. Yeah. So, as always, this has been Brandon.
And I'm Red.
And I'm Teresa.
I'm Mr. Magenta.
And until next time.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
If you'd like to hear the hidden track for this episode in its entirety, go to patreon.com/SSOTW and click on the shitbox tier.